All right, here we go. Hebrews 3:1 says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession," or our confession. Consider. You know, very few people understand the mystery here. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. A lot of people just kind of glaze over that, okay? But when we think about it, and we're going to consider the word apostle, we can't just think of the 12. We have to think about the word itself. Apostle means sent one. You sent to do something. And so it's saying, consider Jesus. He was sent to do something. And then it calls him a high priest. The apostle's not a super saint. They're sent ones. The priest is not someone with strange clothes waving incense. That's a bunch of religion. I'm not saying it wasn't true. It represented something in the temple, which represented something in the throne room of God. But people have made it into something religious is what I should say. But a high priest actually is someone who is authorized to administer, to execute, to implement, and to carry something into effect. So Jesus is sent to administrate or minister your confession. I'm just saying minister. I know it sounds funny English, but he's to implement your confession. Are y'all awake?
Yes.
Okay. Praise the Lord. So he is the one who's authorized to do that. So this Hebrews 3:1 says he's the high priest of what? Of your confession, which seems to me would make your confession very important. So he's been sent to put into effect, to execute, to carry out the words that you say. Now, he can carry out the things that he's high priest over: healing, prosperity, deliverance, all the things that God is. The Bible says, "Let the weak say, I'm strong." Well, why does it say that? Because if you say it, you'll have it. Amen. That's not Hagen, that's Bible. Well, it's Hagen too, praise the Lord. But so he's the high priest over sickness, but he is not the high, he's the Lord over sickness, but he's not a high priest who can deliver sickness, because God has no sickness in him.
Right.
He's totally good. You have to translate scriptures. You have to look at scriptures. They all tell us that God is good, and he has no gift of cancer. He doesn't have any gift of COVID. No. It's not in him. That comes from the enemy, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So Jesus cannot administer sickness, but he can certainly administer healing.
That's right.
Okay? Now, he can administer protection. But notice he does it by taking your confession. Okay. Now, he defeated sin and poverty and disease. He defeated all that. So when we come to Jesus, we're not going to speak the words of defeat.
Yeah.
How long before we're going to get that? Yeah. I'm talking to myself too. How long? How long? Maybe today will be the day.
Yes.
We'll put our stake in the ground and say, you know what? I'm going to change my mouth. So, he is ordained by God to bring all of those good things to pass in your life. Now, I'm going to say this before I get into this next thing. I told Deb today, I said, if I had an opportunity in all of my life to speak to the Church of the Living God, all the denominational people, the Catholic people, the whoevers, If I had one opportunity to express to them a truth, I would tell them about the authority of the believer.
Yes.
Because the ecclesia needs to understand who they are.
Yes.
Yeah, I love faith. But you know what? If you know who you are and you know you can use your authority, life is totally different. But most Christians don't even know about the authority of the believer. They think they just need to try to beg God and maybe he'll do something. That isn't even what prayer is. Prayer is agreeing with God, things that he already wants to happen. Aren't you privileged that you, however we got here by the Holy Spirit, that you were raised under people who understand the authority of the believer? This is not my message, but I sure did want to say that to you. What is my message is this right here. Who wants to be my runner? Art, you'll pass, give everyone one of these, please. Tonight, go to Psalm 91. I emailed this to Danny. If you're watching online and you want this, we'll get it out to you. Can we, Danny? Okay, good. I should have asked before I said that, but I knew she could do it. So we're going to take Psalm 91 tonight, and we are going to feed it to ourselves. As you have just been taught recently, it's the word that's talking to you that will bring faith. I'm going to say this to you. You can't live off the memory of a baked potato. You have to hear and hear. You have to eat and eat and eat. And so I took the time to make this for you, so I hope you won't just throw it in your car on the floorboard. Hope you'll have some respect for it and use it. But what I want to do tonight is I want to use this. Now don't just sit here and read it right now. I want you to pay attention to me right now, okay? But you can use this to follow along as your Bible. So if you look at it, I won't call you down. Okay, now, what we're going to see in Psalm 91 is we're going to see three people talking. Okay? There are three people talking in Psalm 91. So, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Okay? That's the first thing is said here. Now, listen to this. He that remains or who is permanent or stakes his claim. Okay. You got to stake your claim inside this place. You have to dwell. When you dwell, how many of you dwell at your home? You're going to go there after this, unless you go to Chick-fil-A or Dairy Queen or wherever y'all go. And then you're going to go home, and you dwell there. You always go back there. You always go back there. You always go there. You're living there. You dwell there. You're in unity there with the Father. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who chooses to make God, come on now, meditate with me. He who chooses to make God his guardian, and those who live a life of communion with God are constantly safe under his protection and have security of mind at all times. This is going to make you secure. When you're laying somewhere and you can hardly breathe, it's a tough situation. I had asthma as a child, so I know what some of you have been through when you've been attacked. It is not fun. I mean, they would have to take me in the back door of the doctor's office to save my life sometimes. But God healed me. I don't have it anymore. I haven't had it in 46 years. And when my son was born. Anyway, this place, though, if you will dwell here and think about this and speak this, and thank God for this, you're going to be safe as we walk through these next days. You're going to be safe even if something does attack you. You'll come right on through, as we talked about earlier, for these folks that started doing this and they were in it for 2 hours and got healed. Church, God is the healer. He is the healer. He will do this for you. We've seen miracle after. There were miracles all Sunday. Wasn't LaDonna just beautiful? What a wonder. I've just been singing Ferris Lord Jesus all week. I've picked up my guitar and I was trying to play it. And not like she did. But it was just beautiful. And she got with me and Deb and we read all the miracles that happened. There were quite a few miracles. What a blessing. She is a blessing. But we're talking about dwelling here. It's a place of security. He dwells. He's at home in God. Are you at home in God? Or is he just a side thought? Are you at home in him? Now it says, he who dwells in the secret place says almighty. Okay? It talks about almighty, the most high, in the shadow of the almighty. Almighty is, in Hebrew, is El Shaddai. El Shaddai is the one who reserves the right to change the natural world for me, for you. He can literally change nature for you. He saved that right. Elohim is the creator. El Shaddai is the one who can come in. They say this, he's the God of more than enough. They call him the breasty one. He's the one that can feed all of his children at the same time. He can take care of everyone. That's who he is, okay? So you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm already getting happy. He can nurture all of his children at once, okay? Now, it says, verse 2, I will say. Now, take your Bible, or if you want to look at your paper there, I wrote right out there, you say. You say. In every Bible I have the same notes here. I will say. I say. I'm talking now. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Let's say that out loud. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Okay? Okay. So in him I will trust. So the first one that's talking is you. I will say he is my refuge. Now, a refuge is a place. It's inaccessible to the enemy. Remember the secret garden? Remember the movie? They couldn't find the door to get in. You're in the secret garden. They can't find the door to get to you. Yeah, well, I sure do feel like you found the door to get to me. Well, we're going to shut that door. That's what we're working on right now. We've all messed up, but we're going to shut that door, see? That's what we're working on. So he can't find the door. It's inaccessible. It's a refuge. It's a fort. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. They that run into it are what? Saved. Yep. Amen. And so we see here that you come into this place, you come into this refuge, and the enemy can't get to you. And my fortress, a fort, a stronghold, it's keeping something out. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's keeping something out. I want to say right here to you just something I said to people we pray with. I said, you know, sometimes when I've been in a situation where there's a symptom or something or a diagnosis or something, which I don't really go to the doctor that much. I go to holistic people. But if they would say, well, you need this or that, I always say this, Lord, you protect me right now. You keep me right now. You keep me, and then you show me what to do, and you show me what to say. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I commit to him. And I'm committing my body to you right now. Now, you keep me, and we'll get to the angels having charge over me, but I always say that too. So you can build on this. You can talk about this in your relationship with God. Now, you say it. If you don't say it, you won't create it. And if you said it in 1992, you're way behind.
Yep.
Especially in this season.
Right.
Should have been this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't have time. You don't have time to go to the hospital. Okay. Now, so verse 3, surely God shall deliver Roxanne. You need to put your name in there. From the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, Jesus is going to talk, okay? You see, I probably put it there on the notes. He may be talking a little. Yeah, he's talking in right here. He's going to start talking in five, so we're getting close. But you could say he's starting to talk now. Now, the noisome pestilence, it's like a plague. Have y'all heard of a plague anytime lately? Okay, so something, what is a plague? It's something that seizes men unaware. Now, the enemy actually created something that was so contagious that it seizes people unaware. And it's, and then fear, the fear factor just pushes them down the road. And so then the fight is on. Y'all sure are quiet, but I'm preaching good anyway. So, see, there's no guard there. And so what we're doing is we're putting up that guard. He shall cover you with his, cover you, and his truth shall be thy buckler and thy shield. Now, when it says cover you with his feathers, and that's what you're probably reading right there, it says he's keeping you secret, keeping you safe with the greatest tenderness and affection. Yeah. Like a mother hen. See what I'm saying? He's a protector. He will do that. It's like, you got something to say to this boy? Then you better say it to me. It's that. It's like when these guys tried to cheat me and Deb, and Larry came over to our house. Yeah. I called Larry. And Larry came over there and said, what are you talking about? You know, I had my hero there.
Amen.
I was talking to one of my heroes this morning, Brandon Holler. He's always had my back, and what a blessing. But you have these heroes. Well, God is your hero, and he's protecting you. But here's the thing. Feathers feel weak, so God puts, they feel soft. It's soft.
Yeah.
You can be soft, but then God puts something else in here to help you with that. And his truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. A man of war in armor. So those feathers are really a tank.
Well, that's good.
So you're in a tank. You got the tender, loving, kind daddy love.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But then he's your protector. You don't have to have any fear. He's got you.
Yeah.
Amen. Are y'all meditating with me? Let this, eat this, okay? So, now, a mother hen doesn't only protect them, but when she sees danger, she calls them.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Yeah, man.
Come here.
Yeah.
Come here. Get right in here.
Yeah.
That's how he is. You listen for him. Don't go that way. We had all these plans. We were going to go to this event recently, and we were going to go, and we were going to go for 2 weeks. We were going to go 1 week. We were going to go that day, and that afternoon, the Holy Spirit said, "You're not going." He went, "You don't need to go. Don't go." Well, what do you think? What do you think? I didn't ask him. I just didn't go. I don't know what I was saved from, but I was saved from it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so Jesus the high priest is saying, you, Roxanne, shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth at noonday. Not only will he keep us from evil, but he'll keep us from the fear of evil. You shall not be afraid. He'll keep you from being afraid. When your daddy's with you, when your big husband's with you, when the army tank's with you, you're not afraid.
Yeah.
You're not afraid. When the biggest one in the universe has you tucked under his wing, you're not afraid.
That's right.
I'm not afraid. I don't have to be afraid. It's the fear. That's the door. Now, at night, from storms, thieves, robbers, but in the day when the unseen things that neither locks nor bars can shut out, try to attack. Jesus is actually confessing that before the Father. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at thy side. And do you see that? Are y'all there? 1,000 may fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. You will only be a spectator.
Amen.
Amen. What if I say all this, I get all this, and something still happens to me? Then you didn't get it. Go back. Go back and do it again. Yeah, well, what if I'm in faith and I die? Well, what a way to go. you won't. Well, I know great men and women of faith that have died early. But you don't know what all was going on in their life. And you're not supposed to be judging that, nor compare your life to it. The last thing Pastor John told all of us, he said, this is between me and Jesus, and you live by what the Bible says, not by what's happened to me.
That's right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Compare your life to this word. Even when there's war, even when there are many falling by sickness, even when they're falling so close that it seems you could be infected, it will not come near you.
That's right.
It will not come near you. It will not come near you. Now, you're going to have to ask yourself this question. Do you believe Jesus or not? Do you believe Psalm 91 or not? Well, you know, I believe that God would send this so that you better stop that. That's not Bible. That's not Bible. We're going to have to be big enough people to know that sometimes we lose at the game of life. We get off of our faith. We get away. We get too busy. Preachers have a bad habit of just studying what they're going to preach. And they don't feed themselves. That's why some of them go down. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing words that are speaking to them. Okay. Now, where am I? Let's go first, verse 8. Only with your eyes you shall see the reward of the lawless. Now let's go to 9. Yeah. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, because you've spent time making him your habitation, because you have spent time, because you spent time making him your habitation. Church, don't take this like you lost and you missed it. Take this as like you're not going to ever miss it anymore. Will you? I don't know, but get back up and go again if you do. You've won in the end. You're always going to win in the end.
Always.
But you might as well go ahead and have a good life. And so, we got to shake these ideas. Don't let a word condemn you. Let it convict you.
That's good.
Because you spent time making the Lord your habitation. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come near you. You'll be inaccessible. Like when Jesus, they went after him. They were going to throw him off the cliff. What happened? He walked right through them. And they're like, where'd he go? I wonder how that looked on camera. I'm not going to watch this. Okay. Okay. So anyway, it will not come near you. Now, church, understand the enemy. He will go in as far as you let him. So if you accidentally let him in so far, just start right there and back him out.
There you go.
Push him out. You can kick him out real good.
That's right.
Right between the goalposts. There he goes.
Amen.
Out. Okay? All right. Now, now it's been confessed before the angels, and they hearken to the voice of God's word. See, you confessed this, and the high priest of your confession went, all right, let it be so.
Yeah.
Okay? Then Jesus says, you have this. He talks. And then the angels go, they're talking.
Yeah.
They're both talking.
Yeah.
And they're sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. So you now have three groups. You have you, Jesus, well, and you have the Holy Ghost. And then you have now the angels are moving.
Right.
Okay? All right. So they'll bear you up with their hands. I would venture to say that almost every one of us have been close to something and an angel stopped it.
Yeah.
Oh, y'all can count them. Okay, praise the Lord. Verse 13, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. See, y'all didn't think there were dragons, but it says right here. I'm going to leave that alone. Yeah, okay. So the powers of darkness are triumphed over.
Yes.
Now, Romans 16:20 is a very interesting scripture. It says, I'll just read it to you, so pay close attention. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now, that sounds like, so God is going to put Satan under our feet soon. No, shortly. That's not that word. This is actually the word, get ready for this, tacos. It's the word tacos. It's T-A-C-H-O-S. It means how soldiers march. They march shortly. They march shortly. And the Roman soldiers, when they would walk in their, whatever you call it, what do you call it? Their ranks? Formation? Okay, whatever y'all like. When they're walking and they have their shields up, if grandma steps out in front of those troops, it ain't going to be getting run over by a reindeer. I'll just say that. Okay? They don't stop. That's what this is talking about. It's talking about the way these Roman soldiers had these certain, the sandals of peace weren't these little things with daisies and butterflies on them. They're weapons. They've got weapons on their feet and they're marching in them. They got cleats, man. They're marching in them. They're going to do damage. See? And this says that the God, this scripture right here, we didn't put it up. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. In other words, start marching and put him under.
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yes, so good?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Heavy steps. And they're instructed to keep marching. They're stomping. They're pounding with spikes. So if the devil wants to stand in front of you and try to oppose you in your life, in the work of God, start marching. Take him out.
Amen.
Now, you just keep marching. Now we see the Father starts talking. So we got you, Holy Ghost, Jesus, the angels are on the move, and now here comes Papa. And he's going to talk. And he says this, because Rox has set her love on me. That's what he says, okay? He says, because Rox has set, this actually says, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him and I will set him on high because he's known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Now, did you see deliver twice? Okay, there are two different words. The first one is, because he says love on me, therefore I will deliver him. That means snatch and carry away. Grab them and get them out of there.
Mm-hmm.
One time, everybody was out at the house and we were all working on the land out there. Art's already smiling. And Marty was out there. And Marty had his bobcat out there. This is so funny. Marty can drive that thing. And so Marty's going back and forth and all the boys are out there with me. And I'm out there in the middle of them, you know. And Marty puts that thing in reverse, and it's heading straight for me. And Hector snatched me out and moved me and saved my life that day. Literally, because Marty didn't see me. We laughed. We were admiring his maneuvers, but we had to laugh. He ran over his own chainsaw and tore it up. Marty, he just kept going. But Hector literally snatched me. And I've always thought about that. That's how God will do. He'll just grab you up. How many times have you grabbed your kid? You grabbed your kid right before they touched that plug, or right before you grabbed them real quick. He'll get you. He'll call you. Come away from that. Come here away from that. And then he'll come get you. If you've spent time knowing where you are. And it's not, well, if you spend time with me, I will do this. No. You're missing the point. It's not, if you'll do this, I'll do that. He's ready to do it. You have to believe it. And your believing drains out when you live in a world like we live in today. So you have to renew this and eat it again. When you ate that ribeye 7 days ago, it's gone. You get no energy off of it. You're not getting energy. I had some spinach. Did we have some today? Yeah. I had some spinach at 3:30 today. It's about gone. Yeah. Larry's going, is that all you had? I had some chicken too. So, but anyway. But so you see what I'm saying. It's you maintaining your place by feeding yourself. If you don't eat for the next 6 weeks, bye. You're going to be skinny and not feeling well. You'll be weak. That's the point. Okay. Now, so snatch and carry away. The second one is equip in the fight. If you're in a fight, he'll equip you. He'll equip you. Yep. You just need my name. You need my blood. You need my word. You need me. I'll equip you in this.
Yes.
What did it say? The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say.
Yeah.
You get in the middle of court, or you get in the middle of persecution, the Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. Sometimes he tells you not to say anything. Praise the Lord. I'm just thinking about something funny. Yeah. Can I tell them? So some folks were persecuting Susanna about her choices, and which, you know, I mean, it's, we're not telling people what to choose to do. That's not what I do. It's your life. I'm just telling you what I know. But she is standing for some things, and she got persecuted for it. And the person says, and that church you go to, they're connected to the Jehovah Witnesses. Now, I have to tell you, I've been called everything, but not a Jehovah Witness. This, you know, just the woman preacher usually knocks it out, you know. But Ron says, no, we're not. We have windows. Loved it, Ron. Loved it. Okay, let's finish. Go ahead, laugh. It's good. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So he sets you on high. He honors you. He shows you salvation. You can call upon him in faith, and he'll show up. We have all missed it, and there's a pretty good chance we'll all miss it again. But you just get right back in there and go again. The only losers are quitters. Well, I caught the done. Well, so what? You're in God. You live in Jesus. You overcome. Well, but my, you know, everybody else, see, you're comparing.
Yeah.
You need to just do this. We waste so much time in other things. Why? Or wah. It doesn't do any good. We just need to take the time it would take to complain and go get the Bible out and let it talk to you. Don't just, I'm going to read Psalm 23 today and then I'll be good. Not if it didn't talk to you. Let it say something to you. You know, Casey and I were talking about that, what Keith Moore preached about, you know. He was saying, well, every all of those promises are yes and amen. I said, they sure are. I said, and here's where I stand. You can get a rhema word in 5 seconds if you'll get in there and dig for it. It's not like you have to spend an eternity studying something. You can look in there, and if you connect with the Holy Spirit, you'll get that rhema word. He wasn't trying to tell us, now y'all quit saying and doing, because he's trying to get us in order and keep us from being parrots. Where we're just repeating what the preacher said, or repeating what, you know, well, Andrew said this and he got this. Well, that's all well and good, but you have to get something on the inside of you to say that. Andrew's full of the word day and night. And so you've got to get something on the inside of you, and it'll start talking to you. It'll give you energy. It'll give you faith energy. And then when you say something, it'll happen. And in about 6 weeks, we'll need to go over this again, because life will happen.
Yeah.
And you're going to, the main thing, church, you're going to have to get past is the whys. You're just going to have to ask yourself this: why don't I know how to do that in the first place? That's the best why you can answer. Just do what you know to do. I done preach myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So you're equipped in the fight. Listen, he wants to take care of us. You can dwell in the secret place right now. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, thank you, Lord. Repeat this after me. I will say of the Lord,
He is my refuge.
Lord, you are my refuge.
Lord, you are my refuge.
I dwell in you.
You
always deliver me.
You
honor me.
You
show me your salvation. Now, don't you already feel better saying that? You feel better when you say that instead of, well, I just don't know why in the heck I know why. We do that to ourselves. Yeah, it is. Or the lack thereof. It's good to stay in the secret place. And I'm going to make this statement to you as I close. You won't stay in it by thinking it. You won't stay in it by thinking it. You're going to have to open that mouth of yours. And you're going to have to say it. And when your heart hears you say it, your faith will rise up. And you'll, and it will talk to you. And it will keep talking to you. And keep talking to you if you'll just say it. And it just gets this easy. You can get, wake up in the morning, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I love you so much. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all that you've done for me. Lord, I thank you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say of you, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. In you I trust. The Lord, you give your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Is in my pathway there is life and there is no death. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It will not come near me. Down the line. And you said that because I set my love on you, you're going to keep me. You are going to keep me. Keep me, Lord. Protect me, Lord. I know you will. I receive your Psalm 91 in my life. That's where you need to live. Hey, God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory.